Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Oh, life is bigger.
Your artist of the day, Micah Johnson, Sam Stevie, Dana Wright.
I am
Scott Parks. It's actually a good name. You might want to consider it.
What are you saying? I need to change my name?
I'm not saying that Will Starrett's a bad name.
I have been in this radio business for 23 years. Now is the time I'm going to roll out a new name.
Yeah. Rebranding.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's a mid-shift rebranding.
Yes, it's a relaunch.
What I like to call it.
Mm-hmm. I'm Micah Johnson.
So efficient.
Mm-hmm.
So efficient.
Right? Although I always felt like Micah was a kid's name, you know? One of those names like Cody. When you turn 18, they hand you a selective service form and a name change application.
Did you see that Joe's KC Partners, Joe's Kansas City Barbecue, the original gas station location, nationally known for its barbecue and its long lines, they are changing.
Yes, they are.
What are they doing?
They're trying to cut down on the wait. Many fans and Kansas City tourists say it is worth the wait, but Joe's owners want to make sure that the wait is as pleasant as possible. So a couple of years ago, they put in a beer station by the front door. Customers can now buy a local craft beer and enjoy that while they wait.
Good.
And now Joe's is blocking off part of the convenience store as they expand the restrooms and carryout area. Work has started, but the restaurant is still operating. Crews come in early in the morning, leave before lunch. They also are working on Sundays when the barbecue is closed. Work should be completed in about a month. I saw the pictures here.
I want it to be in a gas station. Oklahoma Joe's is supposed to be in a gas station.
They're trying to create a bit of a divider between the restaurant and the gas station portion of the restaurant.
But isn't that part of the charm? It's the only place in America that has it like that.
I'm just telling you what they're doing.
All right.
I think that's the only gas station in America where
you are correct.
I didn't even finish my statement.
Keep going, but you're correct.
The only gas station in America where the convenience store makes less money than something else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every other gas station on earth, the convenience store portion where you're selling, you know, sodas and chapstick and bags of chips, that's where the money is made.
Sure.
Not there.
Cigarettes and chewing tobacco.
Absolutely.
Honest to God question, who goes into that building for something other than barbecue?
I have.
Really?
Have you?
Yes.
Why?
I've gone just to the gas station. When we used to work in the old building in Fairway or in Westwood.
Yeah.
That would be on my way home.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, if I didn't want... I know this is sacrilege. I'm not a big barbecue... I've eaten it at Oklahoma Joe's. I'm not a big barbecue kind of guy. So I would stop there. Don't shake your head at me. I'm sorry.
I'm shaking my head because I'm not either.
Oh.
What is wrong with you people?
Wow.
I'm just not a big barbecue guy.
I know. I will go if Chris really wants to go. But just as a food group, I mean, if you said to me, you only get to pick one.
That's bottom of my list.
Mexican would be first. Italian would be second.
Like second on your list or second worst?
Second on my list.
Oh, okay.
Barbecue would be way down. It's never my go-to. And it's not that I don't enjoy it when I eat it. I'm like, you know, I love burn-ins, all that, but it's not my go-to.
See, you never think about it.
No.
See, Mexican would not even be in my top five, but Italian would be number one. Seafood would be number two. Chinese would be number three.
Oh.
I love Chinese food.
Mm-hmm.
I hate Chinese food.
Well, crab rangoon.
That's the only thing Chinese food-wise I like. Because let's
fried
face it.
Cheese.
Exactly.
What's your problem, Micah?
I don't know. It's
try
just
the name change.
It's never. Yes, that's exactly what it is. You change my name and suddenly I can't stand the stuff.
He's lost his identity.
But no,
he's grumpy.
Palate of a 3-year-old.
I have been accused on multiple occasions of eating like a child, and it's true.
I would have to go American second, like, you know, just like
your burgers and fries
dogs and all that stuff. Yeah,
sure.
So that would be fourth. Ooh. Indian food. Oh.
I don't like that either.
Really?
That'll give you the gas.
I was going to say.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had Ethiopian food?
No.
I love Ethiopian
food. They got an
food.
Ethiopian joint down here on Shawnee Mission
I've
Parkway.
I've seen it.
That really? Seems. That
it's
has.
Ethio place.
I get it. I understand, but.
Don't do it. Don't do what I think you're going to do, Micah. Don't be rude.
I'm not familiar with Ethiopian food. I am familiar with Indian food.
I do find it interesting that a place that is known for its lack of food.
Okay, I knew it.
Now, you know, has become this cuisine sensation. That's all.
They have very delicious traditional food.
I've been told that.
Someone just wrote in, after living in San Antonio, I've never found real Mexican food in Kansas City. Are you serious? Go to Southwest Boulevard, park your car, pick one.
Yeah, for sure.
Speaking of, can I just say the thing that I've never found in this town is New Mexican food. Like from...
Like Tex-Mex?
The state of New Mexico with the green chilies and the red chilies and all that. Oh, that stuff's so good. And I've never been able to find any here.
Thanks a lot, Micah. Here we go. I thought Ethiopian food was just an empty plate.
I knew that's where we were going with that, which is why I didn't bite when
which is why
went down
when,
that
when he went down that road, I knew exactly what road he was going down. I could see it. I could smell it.
I will try it if you will try it.
I'll eat Ethiopian food.
Sounds like we're having a date to Blue Nile.
I'd try it.
In the river bottoms.
Like, what would you recommend? What is your go-to?
Never had it.
I'm asking Sam, what is your go-to Ethiopian dish?
Well, you know, I don't know what any of them are called.
Okay.
But what is it? I just know that it's good.
What?
It's all like protein and lentil and meat, and you get this squishy bread.
Good.
I don't know what it's called either.
So it's
like naan?
It's
kind of like naan.
Meat and beans and bread.
We are moving on. We have a lot of stuff to get to do before the end of the show. Hand me the story. I will read it.
What's so funny?
I am not reading. I know what you're looking at, and I'm not reading it.
What?
The adult is taking over this show.
What?
Scott's crying right now.
Yeah.
I was diplomatic.
We're going to talk about this hour. Scott?
It's a funny joke.
No, it is not.
It's rude, but it's funny.
Can I read it?
No, you may not.
Okay, all right, I'm sorry. So anyway, from the text line.
No. Okay. No.
From the text line.
No.
Oh, I see it now.
We are going to you people. God, we need another adult in the room.
We're working on
another adult? You mean there is one already?
Yes. Yeah, and you know it's bad when it's me.
It's a funny joke.
It is time.
Can I read it?
No, it is 5:15. It is time to go to the break.
All right, 5:76. It's a damn funny joke.
7798.
And damn you for not letting me read it. Damn you. Damn you, Roger. 5767798.
Let's go, girls.
Come on. Oh, from the Dumber Get Dumber file, Stephen Lavey, 56 years of age, pleaded guilty to one count of bank robbery related to the June 21st, 2017 bank robbery at Bank of the West on Blue Valley Parkway in Overland Park. Now, keep in mind, during the robbery, Mr. Lavey, according to court records, wore a straw hat, sunglasses, a fake mustache, and put his left arm in a sling. Minutes after the robbery, police located his getaway car and a chase ensued. The fake mustache, by the way, was on the dashboard of the vehicle at the time of his arrest.
That's very Groucho Marx.
It's like a Three Stooges skit.
Sir, is that your mustache?
No.
No.
Why would you ask?
It's a caterpillar.
Jerks.
This has been in the stack for a few days. I'd like to mention it because it is so unusual and it is very tragic, but I don't know that the right call was made here, Scott. The 9-year-old mother is speaking out today from Eureka, Illinois. She is the mother of the little boy accused of setting a fire to their family home. Mom's name is Katie Allwood. Little boy was 9. She fought back tears as she spoke about her son, Kyle. He is charged with 5 counts of first-degree murder. 5. And again, he's 9. The victims are all members of the family. Allwood was in that trailer, Scott. And I don't know how big this structure was, but Allwood was in there with her other children, one age 2, one age 1, a niece that was 2, and 2 adults. She was in the home when the fire broke out. Most of the victims were sleeping. She was only able to save herself. Quoting here from Mom, "I stood at the window and told my kids I was sorry I could not save them.
No.
Mommy was right here, and I loved them. At least, hopefully, they heard that."
No.
She said her son had recently been diagnosed with a form of schizophrenia, ADHD, and bipolar disorder.
That's unfortunate. You stood at the window and told your kids that you loved them?
No. How big that structure would have been, I would have gone down with that.
You damn right.
Trailer. I mean, that's just,
You wouldn't have broke the windows out, grabbed the kids, yanked them out?
I don't know, Scott.
Run into the trailer, for God's sakes? Jesus.
Well, she was in there. We don't know what end she was on, what end they were on.
Does it matter?
They're generally not very big. I thought that that sentence jumped out to me as well, but I don't know.
Says the, let's see who this is here. This is the prosecutor turned juvenile defense lawyer in Chicago who is representing the 9-year-old. I'm going to skip the part about Santa Claus because I don't want to make parents angry. Quoting here from the defense lawyer, "They don't know, they, 9-year-olds, don't know that people die and don't come back to life. I don't know if 9-year-olds can form intent to commit murder. He set fire to the trailer home."
By age 9, I knew that people died and did not come back to life.
14, by the way, is the minimum age of criminal responsibility in many countries.
I just 9.
I'm taking more issue with Mom.
Well, I know you are.
"I stood outside the window and I told him that I loved him. I hope that was the last thing they heard." Maybe the last thing they heard is Mom running down the hallway screaming, "Where are you?" Good Lord.
Or the sound of a rock going through the window.
Right.
How does a 9-year-old even... How does this happen at age 9? I'm being serious.
I don't know, Dana.
How do you start a fire at age 9 that kills 5 people?
"The dead are a 1-year-old, two 2-year-olds, a 34-year-old man, and a 69-year-old woman."
The coroner says the fire was started intentionally.
Okay.
But again, to me, you have to have some intent there. And 9, man, that is really young. Do they understand what death is? Let's say they've lost a grandparent or something and they understand death, you don't come back. I don't know that when you start a fire like Deborah Green did in Prairie Village, she certainly understood what she was doing that led to the deaths of her children down the street here. I don't know that a 9-year-old has the same capacity, Scott, when he lit that match to whatever it was, to understand that if I do this, 5 people are going to be dead. And how did he get out? Because I haven't read that either.
He probably said it from the outside.
How was the fire started? is my question.
Somebody on the text line says, look it up. Mom's already set up a GoFundMe account for herself.
To secure a conviction, prosecutors will need to prove that a 9-year-old had intent to kill in advance. And I think that is a very high threshold here. Very high.
There are a lot of people writing in saying, do we really know that the 9-year-old was the one who set the fire? A lot of people are writing that in. I'm not willing to make that stretch. I'm not. 576-7798. 576-7798.
We've ever talked about this on this show, but I looked this up. A surprising number of reported fires, seriously enough for the fire department to be called, are set by very young children. More than half of children who set fires are between the ages of 4 and 9.
Believe it.
And those fires have some of the most tragic outcomes. Children's fire play is actually common. They get into that a little bit. The nature and meaning of children's involvement with fire is strongly related to their level of cognitive development, okay? Nearly every day, most children see adults in their lives use fire casually. We encourage children to use control over fire, whether they're holding candles in church or blowing out candles on a birthday cake.
Sure.
It can reinforce children's idea that fire is not especially dangerous and that they would be able to control it under all circumstances. While elementary school children, and this would be this kid in
It's near Chicago. Yeah.
While elementary school children do understand cause and effect transformations, so they are able to grasp that a single match could burn down a house, many still greatly overestimate their ability to control fire. Mm. Because they can't easily anticipate an event they have not yet experienced, children do not appreciate how quickly and decisively a small fire can get out of control. And I go back to intent, Scott. They're saying that this 9-year-old intentionally set the fire. I want to know, what does that mean? What does that mean?
Well, I think there's a difference between...
Did he set a piece of paper on fire intentionally to watch it burn, and now 5 people are dead?
Well, I think if that was the case, they wouldn't be charging him, or at least looking to charge him, with first-degree murder at the age of 9, yeah. There's another story.
Throw lighter fluid all over the trailer and light it up? We just don't have those details. I want to know, how do you know a 9-year-old intentionally killed these 5 people?
Well, they being the prosecutors in Illinois, in central Illinois, have charged him with 5 counts of first-degree murder, which tells me that there's a little bit more than just, ooh, let me see if I can set this paper towel on fire. Now, to your point, Dana, about young kids getting the impression that, you know, fire really isn't that big of a deal. They see their parents light the candles, stuff like that. Maybe they smoke, whatever. I'm reminded when my brother was 10 years old, he was in the attic of our home. And he started a fire in the attic of our home.
Ooh.
With all of that insulation up there. Damn near could have burned the house down.
And what age was he?
He was 10.
I still don't think at the age of 10, when you start the fire, you have an adequate understanding of how quickly it will expand and take everything in its path.
But what I'm getting at, Dana, is my brother was dumb. Him and his buddy Josh Black were up there just goofing around with my mom and dad's lighters, okay, in the attic. If they had burned the house down, I sincerely doubt they would have been charged with arson, because they were upstairs goofing around, or in the attic goofing around. Another step has to have been taken for this kid to be charged with first-degree murder. What that step is, I don't know. Dave in Lake Wavira. Hello, Dave.
Hey, I agree with everything you guys just said, because my story was a nephew of mine, who at the time was about 6 years old, I believe. He thought he could control the fire that he was lighting on the corner of his sister's bed.
Oh, God.
and he believed that his little cup of water would have been fine. My sister had to go get a giant pot of water, coated the entire floor and the bed and everything with water to put it out.
Was someone like right there, Dave? How did they figure out that this had happened?
We were living in a trailer in Gardner at the time, and you can smell right through the walls. Mm. And luckily, we smelt the burning of her hair before.
Oh my God!
It had actually gotten to her.
Wow.
Was she okay?
No, she was fine. She woke up more from the water than the actual like panic of everyone else.
All right, man.
All of the victims, and by the way, there are two adult victims, died of smoke inhalation. And again, this is a small trailer. I saw photos of it online, Scott. It's from here to the wall.
So why could mom not go back in?
I don't, Scott. I don't know.
Would you?
I would die right there with them. Which makes me wonder, is it possible, because there are all these things we don't know when it comes to intent, that there was some kind of accelerant used here and there was just no way to get to the rest of them? We don't know. But
mom says in the story,
it is a small
trailer. I told them I loved them.
Trailer.
And I hope that was the last thing they ever heard. You suck as a mom.
Is it possible that the kid wasn't the one that started the fire, too?
A lot of people are saying that.
I think that's where Elaine and Belton is going to go. We do not know that for a fact. We don't know that at all. Hello, Elaine.
Hi.
Hello.
I don't know 9-year-old boys very well, but I know what it's like to be a mother. And I'm telling you right now, there's something weird about that. There's something weird about that mother's statement. That does not add up at all. You break a window, you do what you have to do, or like Dana said, you die right next to him. That there's something odd about this. I was a middle school teacher, so I saw some strange stuff, you know, and heard all different stories. So it is not unusual for children to start fires, and unfortunately, children with special needs, it's not unusual for them to hurt family members or even kill them. So that's not that far-reaching, but there's something about that mother's statement that just cuts me to the core.
The only thing is, and I agree with you, I don't understand how you would not, you would at least have burns all over your body, Scott, trying. You would have burns.
You have no idea.
Up and down, third degree, trying to get to the two-year-olds and the one-year-old. I don't understand how this could happen, where you are fine and you get out, and I don't. But the fire and arson investigators in every city are very, very good at what they do. This is a science. When you are trying to figure out how a fire started, where the fire started, this is a science. And it says to me that they know. They know where it started. Yep. They know how it started. And for some reason, they
think
know
he did it
with the 9-year-old, and maybe it's his eyebrows that are missing, if you know what I mean, or a flash of some sort on him. He's not even young enough to be detained, Scott. Children in Illinois cannot be detained under 10 years old.
Well, and which is why I find it weird that they've charged him or want to charge him with 5 counts of first-degree murder. How do you charge a 9-year-old child? Now, if the question is, did we all know when we were 9 that death was bad and life was good, fire was hot? Yes. Of course we did.
I did.
But the law is different than what you and I all know and remember from when we were 9 years old. Angel in Overland Park. Angel, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Well, we're doing well. Thank you.
We're doing well.
Hey, good. Angel, do you have your radio turned up a little bit there?
No, but I'm on my speaker, so let me switch it.
Okay, if you don't mind.
Is that better?
Much better. Thank you.
Okay. Sorry. I was listening to what everybody was saying, and as far as the mother thing, that just breaks my heart as far as her not going in. The only benefit of the doubt that I would give her in what Dana was saying on the story about there were two other adults in there. The only excuse that she might have is that those two other adults were trying to rescue them and in case lost their lives, maybe. But other than that, I couldn't see it as a mother not trying my hardest to do whatever possible to save my children. There's no way I could look at them through a window. I myself had a child that was diagnosed with ADD at a very, very young age, didn't respond to discipline, and we had a major fire problem all the time. I was a smoker. I could not use lighter because he was afraid to light a match, but not a lighter. So we couldn't have lighters around. And there would be times when I'd be at one time when he was about four, we were at my friend's house, and she had a two-year-old daughter. So there was a few kids there. They were in the bedroom playing. All the kids come out of the bedroom and sat down in front of the TV. And 3 minutes later, we found out that the bedroom was on fire. All the toys were on fire. The bed was catching on fire. And they were under five, and they all just came and sat in front of the TV like nothing was wrong. My son was the one that started that fire. I woke up in the middle of the night when he was like seven. He was lighting a pile of coloring books on fire. And that was just in his bedroom floor. It was the challenge of lighting it and controlling it was pretty much the main thing, like you say, is it's they want to control it.
Did he grow out of that, I hope, Angel?
It took him, and I'll tell you what, I used to run a young marine program, and he was in that. And so every time we did campfires, we knew there were certain kids that were just drawn to the fire. They didn't want to go run and play. They wanted to stand there and manage that fire. It took him probably to be about 14 years old for him to literally stop being enthused with it. Fireworks, 4th of July.
That would scare me to death.
Yeah, it would
mean. You know what? That is a reminder in your home. We don't think about this because it's fire lighting season. You got a box of matches around. You got some firewood out because firewood's been delivered this week. Hide all of it. Because think about this. What if your son has a buddy over to stay the night? And that buddy that comes over to stay the night is a firebug.
Good point. 576-7798.
Hide your matches.
We'll stare at Sam, Stevie, Dana Wright. I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ. Go to Phyllis in North Kansas City. Phyllis, good afternoon.
Hi.
Hi there.
About the comedy on the 9-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
I have a 9-year-old. and I think usually it's the boys that get into these kind of troubles. Although my 9-year-old's never done anything like that. However, as a former deputy juvenile officer and a social worker, I can tell you that regardless of, you know, whether they're mental state with the age, they're still just 9 years old. And it's up to the parent to be responsible. The parent has to be responsible for their actions, the way they've brought up, the way they teach them. You know, it's parents need to teach them to keep them safe, keep others safe, especially with the mother, you know, her actions don't add up. I think they're not telling, and this is just the beginning of the situation, but they're not saying everything that's going on. There has to be a lot more info that they're not saying.
And we should point out the fire was months ago. The charges were this week. The fire was months ago. And here's the other deal. That little boy was 8 years old.
Oh, he was eight.
In the earlier stories that I read, he was eight. Because the stations all reported it at the time that this mother and one 8-year-old made it out. The 8-year-old is now a charged 9-year-old, had a birthday in between the fire and the charging documents. So he was 8 when the fire was started?
It almost sounded like Tom Becker there for a second. Wait. I find it remarkable that the only two people who get out of this house, by the way, there were two other adults in that house.
Yes.
And three children under the age of three. I find it remarkable that the only people who get out are a 9-year-old boy who is accused of setting the fire and mom. Mom ran out of the house without trying to get her kids out? Bull. What, did she think the one-year-old was going to walk himself out? Mom was so only concerned with her own safety that she ran out the door of their mobile home without checking on her three other infant children? No. No.
Unless you
there is
on,
no unless.
You know, a mobile home is shaped, it's a big rectangle.
You walk in the middle and there are rooms on one side, rooms on the other. I get it.
She was on the butt kitchen end of it and the fire started on this end of it and there was no getting through there. I don't know what the layout of this place looked like. I know it's tiny.
Tracy and Lee Summit. Tracy, hello.
Hey, bud. How you doing?
Doing well. Thank you.
I got a comment on the everybody's kind of dissing this lady for not going in after her kids. And then you hear a lot of people saying I'd go in there and burn with them and everything. A friend of mine looked all this up. We've been listening to you all for a couple of days. He looked this up about fire. And even threw the kids in there with it. And psychologists say that initially your adrenaline's pumping. You see your kid in there. You're reaching for him. He's reaching for you. Next thing you know, your hair on your arms disappear. Your eyelashes disappear. The heat's so intense, it's burning your pupils and your lips. Your mind, they say your mind kicks over then. You back out and get the hell out of there. You get out of there as quick as you can. And they even brought up suicide with it because, you know, what about people that are committing suicide? Well, they thought this over. They're prepared for this, so there's no adrenaline rush for this 9 times out of 10. So, but, I mean, everybody's, and I thought the same thing yesterday. I thought I'd die with my kid. But then after reading this and thinking about it, you know, I mean, maybe it's positive. Maybe you're not going to just die. You know, you want out of there at some point.
Well, I don't know that that's necessarily true, and I'll tell you why. I had something occur to me, and I just thought about it again when you mentioned that. Last night at exactly 2:04, I was awakened by what I thought were, and let me just very quickly, I'm not going to take you to Branson. Maya and I are the only ones that still live at my house, okay? Maya and I both have rooms across the hall from each other on the first floor. I woke up at 2:04 to what sounded like creaking wood coming from the second floor, which would be Sarah's room. And I just remembered this. I laid in bed and I thought, nah, that's crazy. I'm dreaming that. And then I heard it again. And I said, you know what? Is there somebody upstairs at my house? I grabbed my gun and I walked up the stairs. I was not even remotely nervous. I thought if there is somebody in this house, I have to protect Maya.
What was the noise?
I think it turned out to be the storm. Don't make fun of me. But there, I looked in every closet. I looked behind every couch. I looked behind every chair and every bed. There was no one upstairs. But my first thought was not, there's somebody upstairs, I have to evacuate. My first thought was, I have to defend this house. I have to defend my daughter. I don't buy this that as a parent, your first reaction is to flee. I would argue that's your last reaction. This mother, whether she is involved or not, I don't know.
If she was, she'd be charged.
I think you're probably
right. I wish
right.
We had an arson-like person listening who could call in and say, look, if she was in on this, they would have found this,
yeah.
And this.
Yeah, you're probably right.
And the
right.
fact that they didn't find it says to me that maybe she just didn't have a darn thing to do with it, Scott. I don't know.
All right, we got to run. On behalf of our producer today, Sam Stevie, my good friend and co-host Dana Wright, I am Scott Parks, and God willing, we will return tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Don't forget Festivus Friday tomorrow at 5 o'clock. That is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Have a great night. Be safe. Be good.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.